Welcome to Native America Calling from Studio 49 in Albuquerque. I'm Tara Gatewood. The creators of Something Inside is Broken introduced audiences to the endangered Nisenan language. This is a song from Something Inside is Broken. In this hour, we'll hear more songs, and we'll talk with the creators of this Native American rock opera production. That's what's next, right after National Native News. Stay with us.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. President-elect Donald Trump has nominated Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke to become the next Secretary of the Interior. Tribal leaders in Montana say, for the most part, he's a good pick to lead the department, which oversees the Bureau of Indian Affairs. Nikki Ouellette of Montana Public Radio reports.
Tribal leaders across the state are vocal in their support of Representative Zinke. Vernon Finley is chairman of the Confederated Salish and Kootenai Tribes of the Flathead Reservation in western Montana.
What is really important is that the tribal perspective would have a seat at the table. Now, given that it would be a Republican administration, having someone there who has worked with and who understands a lot of the Native issues, I think, is what's important.
Finley and others say Zinke has a strong record of working with tribes on issues like water compacts, supporting tribal sovereignty in natural resource management decisions, and securing funding for tribal programs. Environmental groups have come down hard on Trump's pick. They say Zinke's voting record on environmental issues is concerning, as is his support to roll back regulations on oil, gas, and coal extraction on federal public lands. Zinke accepted Trump's nomination Thursday morning. For National Native News, I'm Nikki Ouellette.
As tribal leaders and Native organizations examine nominations for the incoming Trump administration, U.S. lawmakers are also weighing in. This week, New Mexico Democratic Senators Tom Udall and Martin Heinrich expressed their skepticism of the president-elect's choice of Rick Perry, former governor of Texas, to be Secretary of Energy, while Native American Oklahoma Republican Congressman Mark Wayne Mullen supports the nomination. Some people opposing the Dakota Access Pipeline were quick to point out Perry's connection. He's on the board of the company building the project, Energy Transfer Partners. A nonprofit environmental group founded with the intent of protecting the Black Hills from development is disbanding. Jim Kent visited with the group's coordinator and has this report.
The Defenders of the Black Hills was founded to preserve, protect, and restore the environment of the 1851 and 1868 Fort Laramie Treaty territories, treaties made between the United States and the Great Sioux Nation. Since its inception in November 2002, the group has taken part in efforts to protect Bear Butte, stop uranium mining, and preserve prairie grasslands. Lakota Elder Charmaine Whiteface has led the group since it was founded.
And our first project we took on was in January of 2003, and it was a protection of Bear Butte from a shooting range.
The Defenders won that battle and would go on to fight many others.
Logging, sacred sites protection, water protection, air protection, the nuclear radioactive pollution issue, mining, stopping mining of all kinds.
And even when they didn't win the battle, says Whiteface, the Defenders felt they were successful because of the awareness they brought to the issues.
We think we were very successful because now there's so many other groups popping up and people are aware of ton more awareness and education of the public about the environmental issues in this Great Plains region.
Charmaine Whiteface adds that with its members aging and other environmental groups present to carry the baton, she feels that now is the right time for the Defenders to step back from the fight. For National Native News, I'm Jim Kent.
In Canada, First Nations leaders met with Prime Minister Justin Trudeau on Thursday. The Prime Minister announced he would meet annually with the leaders. He also announced the intent to create a board to work on reconciliation between the government and former students of Indian residential schools. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. Native American Rights Fund has been helping Indian tribes for over 40 years with critical issues such as treaty enforcement, hunting and fishing rights, Indian child welfare, religious freedom, and more. You too can become a modern-day warrior with your support for NARF's work. Learn more at narf.org and join the fight for Native rights.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood. Audiences get to take a look into history in the rock opera Something Inside is Broken. The production zeroes in on the time just before the California Gold Rush when the Nisenan people encountered Johann Sutter, a 19th century pioneer. The story details the Nisenan's struggles against enslavement and other methods Sutter used to enrich himself. Listen to this song from the production, which reflects what the Native characters go through.
He has an army, soldiers he trained. He has your people, and nothing you do will make him change. He has a fort, gateway of the West. He's just a man that you can't best. He's like a monster devouring the land. His little empire is not so grand. He's only human, not like me. I'm special. He's only human, but he scares me. Something inside is broken. Something inside ain't right. Something inside is broken. Something inside ain't right.
Min kaye men heta yeni.
My duke Benny Kuyepe.
Oh, my Uyepe.
Nisi Kubu Bolo Painu Helvis Yadita Wawisi.
Aumendani.
Aumumni. Ukoyimni.
Ine, ine kolo.
Something inside.
Business at the fort.
Something inside ain't right.
I come to work. I'm from Sumikai's village.
Something inside is broken.
Open the gate.
Something inside ain't right.
Leloni, Leloni.
He has your child, the man in the fort. He took your children, his men did extort.
Homodini kule, homodini kule.
He has your wife, the man in the fort. He took your wife, his men did extort.
Let him go. I failed you all. I failed my people. I failed my sons. What can I do? I've lost all control to the man in the boss.
Something inside is broken. Something inside ain't right. Something inside. Message live on, message don't fight. Message live on, message don't fight. Something is broken inside.
And that was the theme song for Something Inside is Broken, a rock opera, which includes, as you heard, the Nisenan language. And what kind of image do you have in your head right now? Did you hear something in that song that reflects something you've been taught about your history, something that you know doesn't make it to the history books? Anything you want to share, our phone lines are open. We look forward to your thoughts on what you're about to hear and what you're hearing now. Our phone lines are open. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And during the rest of the hour, we'll be talking with the creators of this rock opera about how it was inspired and developed. And if you have any questions for them or you just want to give them a kudos, give us a ring too. 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And right now, we're going to go to Auburn, California to say hello to Alan Wallace. He's the creator of Something Inside is Broken. He's Nisenan and Washoe. It's our pleasure to have Alan here with us. Alan, thank you for being with us.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure.
And Alan, I think there was a lot in that last piece. I think we were able to travel through time and even hear some emotion that maybe isn't talked about, or emotion that has never gotten the spotlight it deserves to really portray the full picture of what happened to Native people in your area, in your lineage. Alan, anything you want to start with when it comes to the importance of this story?
Oh, man, that's kind of a tough question. It changes all the time for me because I watched this play a bunch of times. I watched it evolve, and it sort of changed with me just watching it, you know, and seeing what was going on and, you know, thinking about just my personal growth and my personal experience. So, I think it's pretty individual. I think also the people who saw it and the people who performed in it, you know, or had any part in it kind of had the same feelings, you know. It wasn't always something you could just pin down into one phrase, for me anyway. It sort of changed, which I kind of like that, you know. It resembles, or I guess that's sort of the definition of art, is that it's not always the same. It's just not one answer. It changes. When I listen to that song, it has so many different dimensions, you know. And when I first heard it put together, you know, I only did the language. I didn't do any of the music or the arrangement. And, when Simone Wilson came out with that song, I couldn't believe he did it. You know, it was just so remarkable. I still can't believe how good it is. And you know, just even listening to it, it's even better when it's performed. You know, so it's hard to say. I don't know. From more of an outside thing, not really being somebody who worked the music. Jack did the directing, and Elle did the choreography. You know, they have different things, but just to watch that evolve in time, you know, in the rehearsal was actually quite a treat.
Sure. So you're kind of like the seed planter, and then everybody came along, helped that plant grow. And it's exciting to hear you reflect on this work and see so much life being breathed into it and in different aspects. Artists, I know you can relate to that. Anything you want to share about creativity and what it brings back and always being fruitful? Give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And Alan, tell us a little bit more about being that seed and how this got started.
Well, started off with just a simple language class, had a few kids, young people, and they decided to form a band and do stuff in the language, and then we kind of ran out of ideas, and then trying to think of a new project, we thought about doing a play, and then kind of the rock opera thing came out, and then we decided we had to come up with a theme, and then the theme became the Gold Rush. So that was kind of how we started. Initially, it was supposed to be in totally in the language, and then I started doing some things with Jack, and he was working on a film, Kena Kill, and so it was like, well, very similar theme. So Jack jumped on board, and he's the one who did the script. You know, I just had the story and the language, and you know, there's so much material, and he's the one who kind of reduced it down to the time of Sutter, which is, you know, just one little narrow time period within the contact, you know. So I think that's when we started going, and then he was developing the story and the characters and stuff, and we were collaborating back and forth on just ideas, and I was doing a lot of reading, and some of the stories kept coming up, you know, from my family, so I just kept throwing it back out. But initially, it was just a way to show how our language could be used in different mediums. So that was kind of my goal, was to try to incorporate as much language into other forms, other art forms as possible.
Sure, and I think this even being put into a music form, sometimes people can take in language a little bit easier, or it sticks with them in a different way when you hear it sung. And maybe some of your students are even listening right now, and they'd like to comment on how putting it to this form has helped them internalize this language, Alan, that you want to make sure continues on. Folks, what do you think? 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Alan, we got a caller on the line. We're going to go to Los Angeles and say hello to Simone, who's on the line. Simone, thank you for giving us a ring. And I understand you're responsible for making sure that music is really hitting us. Thank you for being with us. Anything else you want to say about your role with this production and anything else?
Yeah, hello, thanks. So I was brought on as the kind of originally like a musical orchestrator and arranger, and I would receive songs from Jack, the director. Conveniently, we used the same software program, which was great. So he sent me songs with, generally they had the melody line in there, and the lyrics and everything, and some bass and piano and guitar and some string parts here and there, and percussion and stuff. And I would take them and basically orchestrate them for I had a string quartet, a cello, a viola, and two violins, and some trumpet parts in there. And there was also a Native American flute that we were working with. He had all the tracks for that. And I did all the vocal harmonies, all the harmonies that you hear in the whole show. There's probably about 12 numbers that are pretty big chorus parts, four-part harmonies throughout. So I come from an a cappella background in college, and I went to UC Santa Cruz and studied music, so I have all that theory training, and it was so great to be able to apply it to a project such as this. And then as the project evolved, I became the musical director for our first short run back in March. And I was teaching all these parts to the cast. And then in May, we did another production, and I was the piano conductor, and we had a live orchestra. There were 10 musicians there. Basically just used my theory and my training to make everything as musical and as it could. And then I also was teaching all the vocal parts in the later productions as well. When we added, we ended with 26 songs, and about 13 of them had the native language in there. So I was teaching that to the cast as well. And that was a great experience learning more myself.
I want to hear more about the reactions from the cast taking in some of this. And gentlemen, we got a caller on the line we're also going to bring in. Let's go ahead and say hello to Jerry in Nespelem, Washington, tuned in. Jerry, thank you for your call. And what would you like to tell these folks?
I just want to say it's beautiful. Thank you for writing it and for having something like this in an opera and the using the language, because you're telling the story of California Indians, and something is broken within us because we lost so much land, and we lost so much as in our languages. And because I'm Wintu, and I'm also a Wailaki, so I want to say it is beautiful. It really stirs inside your heart, especially to hear the language. And I have to say, this is a beautiful way of bringing history in music. And I want to say thank you for doing that for us.
Jerry, thank you for your call. I'm glad you gave us your thoughts on this. And we know you have thoughts, too. Pick up the phone, dial in 1-800-996-2848. Alan, how does it make you feel hearing that?
Oh, pretty damn good.
It sounds like this opened up exactly what you were hoping it would.
Yeah, I think when we sat here, when Jack finished the initial script, and I think it was about 10 or 12 of us, and we each one took a part, we read it, then that's when I knew. That was like way back, and I knew that we had something there, that it just kept getting better and better and more volume, everything. You know, having Simone and Elle come on board too, boy, that really, really rounded out the whole thing, you know. And, you know, it took everybody to make it work. And, you know, even during in the last stages of rehearsal, you could see where people would add stuff to it, and it would just make it so much better. So I was always curious to see what these guys would come up with, you know. And it was a treat just to watch, because I got to see it from the beginning to the final stages of it. So, you know, I don't know if I would have been able to do that if I was really involved, but I could sit back and watch it evolve and grow and get better. And it was subtle changes, but, you know, I was watching it, and it was pretty good. And it's nice to hear that lady from the Spielman talk, because, you know, I forget about that part, you know, because I'm looking at something else, and then I forget how it makes people feel, you know. And
well, you know what? You know what, Alan? Let's give him some more. Folks, we're going to give you more from Something Inside Is Broken. Our phone lines are going to remain open if you want to call in and tell us about it. Give us your take on what you're hearing. 1-800-996-2848 is the number, or send us a tweet. And if we have anybody in the audience who got to see this on stage this fall, call in and tell us more. 1-800-996-2848. Now we're going to go to more from Something Inside Is Broken. It's called Minor Song, and it's the little bit different from other songs in the rock opera.
Give it up, Sacramento! Welcome to Frontier Idol. And now introducing your game show host, Peter Hardiman Burnett. Give it up for the master of disaster, the king of Kong, the soon-to-be Dominator of California.
How is everyone doing out there tonight? Welcome to Alta, California, Mexican territory. It's 1846. This episode of Frontier Idol is brought to you by the Sutter Distillery, which is making a splash across the great frontier. All right, enough of the advertisements. Back to the show.
Frontier Idol, Frontier Idol, Frontier Idol, Frontier Idol.
Give it up for our bounty hunters, Esclave Uno. Stirring it up, laying it down, is El Negro D. Tying it down, his song will find you wherever you are. Yes, in your darkest moments of existence, he will find you. It's El Conductor of Mucho Pain. And let's not forget about Manuel and Wooden Nickel. These are Sutter's Las Casaderos de Recompensas. They are setters, slave hunters. They travel far and wide to find the best the new frontier has to offer El Capitan Johann Sutter.
Sutter is of German descent, but grew up in Switzerland. He left his home, abandoned his wife and five children, leaving them penniless, and came to America a bankrupt man in search of a dream.
With 14 men and three small skiffs, he made his way up the Sacramento River to this place.
Before Sutter, Native people heeded the cycle of the seasons. Time was infinite, and life's rhythms unchanging. Now, it was all about to change.
And here now, we welcome the guest of honor, Mai Kule, Dupam Kule, and Hulba. They are game. They are Wago. They are the hunted, the Kazado.
And this is the minor song from the rock opera, Something Inside is Broken. And I think it's also appropriate music to bring in another one of our guests. We have Jack Kohler on the line from Auburn. And he is the scriptwriter, director, actor, and composer. He's also the director on Native Ground, a nonprofit Hoopa media organization. And he's a member of the Hoopa tribe. Jack, thank you for being with us. And I think we've made your ears itch a little talking about you and your role in this. And we're getting ready to pause for a moment for the break, but we got a couple of moments before we do. Jack, go ahead, enter, and let us know what's on your mind.
Well, thank you very much for having us on Native America Calling. It's great to be here. We hope this show helps to create other ideas across other Native tribes of ways to tell and teach their history, and also to get out their language. I mean, this is a great way to develop their language because we had 26 people on stage singing in the Anishinaabe language, learning all these songs. So it's a great way to reinvigorate your language program and to tell the history without actually pointing fingers and making people feel bad about what happened in history, you know, whether you're Native or you're white or you're mixed, which I am.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you're really waking up the senses with what we're hearing today and just knowing how much depth is going into what we're hearing that's coming out as songs right now and what played out on stage for a while in different cities. Jack, we do appreciate you being here with us, and we can't wait to hear about more of how this story was built. And folks, we also want to hear from you too. You can join us by calling 1-800-996-2848. And if this sounds like something you would like to see, tell us why. Something Inside is Broken is the name of the rock opera. We have many of the players on the line with us today, and we'll continue to explore what this project has meant to the people involved and also audiences who have taken a moment to take in Native history in this way. And what if something like this was brewing in your own tribal community? Call in, tell us what you think about that. Our phone lines are open. We look forward to hearing from you. When you buy a t-shirt to support the Dakota Access Pipeline, you assume the money is going to the Native artist who designed it, right? That's not always the case. Foreign companies are stealing images and using passion for a worthy cause to create profit. We'll talk with artists about protecting work on the next Native America Calling.
Thank you.
Dr. Shea, Medicare Part D is your prescription for a healthy life. Anyone with Medicare Part D provides access to affordable prescription drugs. Sign up for or switch your Part D plan during open enrollments from October 15th to December 17th. For more information, visit Medicare.gov. A message from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Elakwa.
Support provided by the award-winning game Never Alone, a video game based on Inupiat tales and made in partnership with the Alaska Native community. In Never Alone, a young Inupiat girl and her Arctic fox brave harsh and beautiful Arctic environments, meet fascinating characters, and search for the source of an eternal blizzard that threatens the survival of everything they know. Never Alone is available now on the App Store and Google Play. More information at neveralonegame.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood from Isla de Pueblo, and today we're putting the spotlight on the Native rock opera called Something Inside is Broken, and producers staged the show around California, Reno, Nevada, and Phoenix so far, and plan to take it on tour again. And we're sharing a few songs with you. Here's one called Work Song. It's in the Nisenan language. This is Native America Calling. And here is a Native rock opera that was born out of history, a love of culture, a love of language, and a lot of heart. And if there's something more you want to share about it, our phone lines are open. That's 1-800-996-2848. And you can also find us on Twitter. We look forward to hearing what you have to say on social media. Our Twitter handle is at 1-800-99-NATIVE. And here we go back into the music to learn more about the Nisenan people and history. Was Work Song from the rock opera Something Inside is Broken. We're putting the spotlight on it to hear how a group of folks decided to support Native language as well as uncover a history that is somewhat hidden. And the creators of this rock opera are with us. If you have questions for them, give us a call, or if you just want to talk straight to them, give us a ring, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's go straight to our phone lines. We're going to say hi to Clark in Hopi, Arizona, tuned in on KUII. Clark, thank you for your call, and you're on air.
Hey, good morning, Tara.
Hello.
And to the guest there, and thank you for accepting my call. Want to say congratulations to the individuals that got this type of music on the air. I just want to share with you all that I recently did something similar to what they're doing, but it's just between myself and another individual named Trevor Reed, who's also Hopi, who's out in New York, but he does write music for symphonies, and that's what we did back in August of the 100-year celebration of the national parks. Of course, you know, it was all composed around the songs that I have done in Hopi, and being there on the air with you, you know, that's particularly what I try to focus on. I do focus on nothing but our language, and that's something that I try to leave behind. But it was a whole different venue because never before did I perform with, you know, 15 other individuals playing the strings, the wind instruments, and so forth. You know, that was a combination. But just having a rough, unedited cut of the performance, it sounded good. A lot of people that listened to it, they made the same comments. But my thing was that just hearing the program just now, I tried to do my best and not to go take it out of the text of what normally is allowed and prohibited and so forth. So we were careful on that, how we went and shared our songs at that venue in Grand Canyon.
Well, Clark, I'm glad you did that. And great to hear you connected with Trevor. He's definitely got a lot of creativity and dedicated to making sure that your tribe's language is going strong. And Clark, we know you do a lot of work. We do appreciate your call. And folks, if you'd like to share something too, 1-800-996-2848. What do you think about taking on your tribe's history through a musical, through a rock opera, or maybe even just teaming up with musicians, much like we just heard Clark talk about? 1-800-996-2848. Always great to hear from you. Let's go ahead and bring in our guest. We have Jack Kohler on the line. He's the director of and scriptwriter, actor, and composer of this rock opera. He's also the director of On Native Ground, and he comes to us from the Hoopa tribe. Jack, thank you for being with us. And, you know, there's many approaches that a person can take in letting some of this play out. Even before the break, you could hear a little infusing of pop culture and something similar to a scene we'd see on American Idol. You've chosen to weave a lot of this together in different ways. Jack, is there anything more you'd like to share about being that guy, being the weaver, and you know, helping this story come out in the way that it did?
Well, I knew that we'd have to reach an audience that would watch it, for one, because it's filled with a lot of depressing facts. And so we had to throw in humor, satirical humor. And so while I was writing this, I was trying to figure out, how do I hit on some of these topics that I just didn't want a bunch of talking heads on stage talking about, you know, death tolls and how many people suffered. And so I figured, well, what if we put it in a reality television show, what it would look like in 1846 with Burnett, the first governor of California, who actually instituted the extermination policy in California in 1849 and 50. If he was the MC of the program, and it was the slave hunters against the slave girls, and just sort of put it in that context, which in reality television, it was my way to kick down reality television, because it constantly pits people against each other to see who is better or who can knock down the other person in some form, you know, of humility. So that was the way I did it. And it was also a way to get out a lot of information and historical facts without depressing people and plus we needed some sort of comedy in the show.
Sure.
Which is why I came up with this idea of Frontier Idol. And then we could also get away with a lot of stuff that people would accept and maybe laugh at. But through their laughter, they're thinking, why am I laughing at this? This really happened to people. Thousands of people, millions of people, millions of Native Americans died from these policies and the way manifest destiny and the way people thought back then. And that was one of the reasons why we chose pre-Gold Rush, because in the public schools in California, history begins at the Gold Rush. You don't hear about what happened before that. You don't hear that Sutter had 800 slaves that supported his fields, his granary, his woodworks. He had a harem of women that he used as sex slaves. He was a human trafficker of the worst kind. He would use young boys and girls to pay off his debts for the people that helped pay for his fort to be built, his mills, his granaries for Fort Ross. He would send out these slave trackers to find natives that were usually within a 50-mile radius or farther out away from the fort, so he wouldn't have to worry about these tribes trying to make it down to his fort to attack him for stealing their women and children. But that's what he did. So he sent these slave trackers out. They'd round up young boys and girls from different tribes, and they'd bring them into the fort. And he would either use them there or he'd pay off debts with them.
And, Jack, a lot of this is pretty heavy. What did you do to balance this? And you know, there's sometimes humor used in Something Inside Is Broken. What did you do to make sure that that balance was there so that people wouldn't feel you were making light of something or disrespecting a history, especially if a lot of lives were lost? Did it ever get complicated in finding this balance or you know, thinking about, okay, how are we going to do this scene? Jack?
Well, we have somber, we did it through songs. So we have some somber songs that happen where after Fremont and his men massacre, we sort of reenact the Lassen massacre on stage. And right after they massacre him, they sing this song about manifest destiny and how this is what we're supposed to do. This is why we came to California, to take it over. So we had to do it through song. And so you'd hear these songs being sung by these soldiers and you're realizing, okay, this is what they thought, but this was the thinking of the time, that natives were not human beings; they were considered animals. It's the whole doctrine of discovery of thinking of another human being as not being useful or having a purpose besides using them. So we had to throw in songs. We had to throw in humor. And then we also created this character, the Piepe character, which was sort of a brother of Coyote. and we made her a woman because we knew this whole story in California had to be from a woman's point of view. So our world maker is a woman. Our Piepe spiritual character, who's on stage all the time in almost every scene, and she sings in all the songs, but she can't be seen by the actors on stage. She's sort of like the compass of the show. And she weaves in humor now and then also some tragedy. So we had to mix the tragedy and comedy together so that people could feel what it was like to go through this time and this era as a Native American.
Wow, lots of interesting layers. Folks, what do you think about these layers? 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Also on the line with us, we have Simone in Los Angeles, and he's the director of Something Inside Is Broken. Simone, just hearing what Jack had to share, you were probably somebody who had to help the cast journey through this to really bring out this story, to bring out these emotions. Anything you can share about the journeys that the cast went through to be able to hit the notes and also hit the story well?
Yeah, I mean, it was really interesting because we were dealing at first with a lot of people that didn't have very much experience on stage or singing even, so I've been part of an a cappella group in college for 4 years, and I was the musical director of that group in my last year, and just like, there's certain things that you can say to people that open up their way of thinking when they're singing. Because a lot of people are very conscious about their voices, and it's such a vulnerable place to be singing. But when we think about that and we gain a little bit of confidence and we still come from that vulnerable place, I think so much emotion can be shown. And we were able to, I was able to unlock a lot of that with people from the cast. And I think it actually benefited us to be working with a group of people that were less experienced, at least for the first two productions, and a lot of people that this story meant a lot to them. Most of the cast was of Native descent, and several of them were from the actual tribe that we were speaking of. So it was all kind of there, and it was just a matter of becoming more comfortable with each other and with the story we were telling and with our voices. And it was a beautiful process to be a part of.
And you know what? One quote really stuck out for me from one of the people in the cast, Natalie Benali. She told Indian Country Today Media Network, "Colonization stripped our people of our humanity, of our ability to live. Our bodies were in the way of expansion. It broke the spirit of a lot of people. And to hear something in depth like that coming from a cast member, I can only imagine the kind of conversations you all had in this production, getting it ready, bringing it to life. Another element in this is the movement, the motion. We're going to turn now to somebody who was involved with that. Elle Bayer is on the line. She was the choreographer and producer for Something Inside is Broken. And it is our pleasure to welcome Elle to the hour. Elle, thank you for being with us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. I'm very happy to be here. Thank you for having us.
Indeed. And Elle, go ahead and tell us a little bit about some of this building. I think Simone, you know, took us close to getting the right sound, and you had a role in making sure the right movement was following that sound. Elle, anything you want to share about the importance of this part of the play or the opera?
Yeah, I felt actually very, very lucky to come on board as a choreographer because I had the privilege of being inspired by the great artists that had already built such a strong foundation, like hearing Alan's stories and Jack and Simone. And so I felt like I was kind of like in terms of decorating cake, just kind of like putting the icing on it. And, you know, so that was like really fun for me. In terms of movement, it was kind of just like my role to try to portray the vision and further along the story through movement, and how can I create sequences that are going to really help manifest that vision and help people experience the story more beautifully. So, what Simone was saying, it was a kind of organic process when we first began. We were working with more or less experienced actors and dancers and singers, but I really love that process because you could kind of, they're just like very, almost like very raw, you know, you could really see where their strengths were and how you could play off of those and create sequences that would really play off of their strengths. And the same thing goes for even professional actors and dancers. But it was just really neat to kind of have that, see the evolution of the show and see where it began and then where it grew to.
I understand and saw some of the footage, even weaving kids into this. You folks really reached to different levels on this, and it's exciting to hear the story behind it. Folks, if there's anything more you want to hear about the story behind this, give us a ring, 1-800-996-2848. And maybe you just have an idea of a point in history that you think would be good to set to this type of art. History of your tribe, give us a ring, 1-800-996-2848. Let's go ahead and take a call. We're going to say hi to Hazel in Northwest Wisconsin, listening on WOJB. Hazel, thank you for your call, and go ahead, you're on air.
Hi. Just listening to the music and also imagining what having movement with it is, the depth of what is happening is so much more recognizable. I work on a committee where we look at mainstream schools' textbooks, and for example, like they'll say, Squanto was captured and enslaved, but somehow the word captured doesn't give you the sense of what he went through, that this wasn't like a fair fight or whatever. And so with the depth of the music, which can handle the strongest emotions, and with the movements, there's just so much more that is shared than a surface mainstream culture glossing over the things that have happened. And I just also think music can hold those emotions and somewhat resolve them. And I'm thinking of things like even like in Porgy and Bess for the African-American history, the music form, the art forms carry so much more than academic language.
Thank you for that, Hazel. There in Wisconsin, a WOJB listener, we appreciate your call. Let's see how much more we can uncover by turning back to the music. Jack, we have one of the pieces called Shoot First. Is there anything you'd like to say before we let that one go?
This is about manifest destiny, this whole song. And it, you know, today, I mean, that song is really relevant for what's happening today, even like at Standing Rock. I mean, it's now it's not countries or kings that are taking what they want. It's corporations. So a lot of these songs, when we wrote them, I mean, we wrote them about things that were happening today. We sort of pushed it back into history and used it in that context so people wouldn't feel so pointed at. But really, when you think of this whole song, I mean, this is exactly what happened at Standing Rock when you hear this song. It's now corporations who are taking what they want. And it's no longer kings and countries like the United States. But it's always the people that suffer.
Framed by the greed and the attitude of the time.
Polk firmly stated that Mexico will soon fall in line.
His vision of our borders lies somewhere here in the West.
Manifest destiny is now at the top of his list. Shoot first,
lie later,
the official motto of this land.
Whether it's Columbus, Polk, or Washington,
or men who aren't as grand.
Three 300 dead and counting, our bullets ripped through their skin.
He died without a fight, and soon they'll all be dead.
Captain Fremont, you saved us from the scourge of this here land.
They kill and eat our cattle. We're glad you took a stand.
Shoot first, lie later, the official motto of this land. Whether it's Columbus, Polk, or hard-ass Jackson, or men who aren't as grand. Shoot first, lie later, the official motto of this land. Manifest destiny has begun, so you better know which side you're on.
They attacked us first, it's the good old standard quote.
Time to make an example and cut these engines' throats.
Whether we're talking then or now, things really haven't changed.
Laws need to be broken to suit the white man's needs.
Rules change with the game.
White lies, white justice.
Different rules for Indians.
Captain Fremont, I promise I will do whatever I can.
Shoot first, lie later, the official motto of this land. Whether it's Columbus, Polk, or bounty hunters, their means justify the end. Though the numbers don't add up, as any fool can see, they'll never get back the land we stole through manifest.
Let's hear what one of our callers has to say about all of this. We're going to Orange County, California, to hear from Evelyn, who's tuned in online. Evelyn, go ahead, give your thoughts.
I just wanted to thank everybody for creating this play, because it really is all of California's indigenous people's story, because I'm Katanamuk, I'm from the Tejon Indian tribe, and it is our story in so many ways. And I just want to say thank you for bringing it up. And I can't wait to see the play.
All right. Thank you for that, Evelyn. Thanks for giving us your take there in Orange County. And Jack, as we get ready to wrap up this hour, you're hearing from people from your own community. I think that's the second time we heard somebody say this is the California story. Anything you want to share, Jack?
This did happen. this is our story, but it's not taught in public schools. There's very little mentioned in the public school system, in the history books, about what really happened to the tribes in California, or even in their region. And this is why we need, the history books need to be changed. The history books were always written by the victors, the conquerors, but they don't reflect the entire history of the state. And stuff is being, information has been kept from the public. And the only way natives can heal, especially in California or who are on reservations, is once all that information is let out so that everyone can see it. So the history is written in a true context of what happened to both sides, not just one side, not just the victor's side. And that's the only way we all can heal as a nation, because that's why natives, that's why the title, Something is Broken Inside, something is still broken inside all natives.
It reflects and I think relates to a lot. Jack, what is the future for this? When do you go back on stage?
We don't know. We're submitting our work to a bunch of different opera houses across the nation, musical festivals. We're looking for theaters that want to put it in their season. I think that's the best way that this will start to take off. Is it needs to be it needs to run at a theater that's ready to take on this sort of work.
Sure. Well, maybe somebody's listening right now. What is critical contact information in case people want to reach you, Jack?
The best way is our website, somethinginsideisbroken.com or onnativeground.org.
All right. Two great resources. Jack Kohler, thank you for being with us. Also, thanks to L. Beyer, as well as Alan Wallace, for letting us know more about this production. We wish you all the best as you continue to bring it to more communities. And that's going to do it for this week, folks. We do appreciate you tuning in all week. Join us again next week, because we have plenty more ahead. Our executive producer is Art Hughes. Senior producer is Monica Brain. Associate producer is Andy Murphy. Derek Toledo is our engineer. Antonia Gonzalez is the anchor and producer of National Native News. I'm your host and producer, Tara Gatewood.
The Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce's Convention and Tourism Department welcomes to Albuquerque the 6th Annual Striking Eagle Basketball Tournament and Education Fair beginning December 28th. Information on the event and services at siabq.org. Support by Chickasaw Press, presenting Mission to Space, Chickasaw astronaut John Harrington's story of making his youthful dreams of going to space a reality. Holiday delivery of this children's book available on orders placed at chickasawpress.com by December 21st. Support by the American Indian Alaska Native Tourism Association, IANTA, presenting a two-day Go International training event January 9th and 10th to introduce tribes to the international tourism market. Training will cover selling internationally, creating a tourism product, working with the media, and more. More information, including registration, available by calling IANTA at 505-724-3592.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization located in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the McCune Charitable Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Music is provided by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.